Father God, as we open your word, Lord, we pray that just as the blind man died were opened, the truth of who you are, Lord, we pray that our eyes will be opened to who you really are and our understanding of what you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we've read already the first half of the story where we find out about how Jesus healed the blind man and the mother of his eyes and sent him off to the pool of Siloam. Yeah, I can say it. I might have it all later, you know. Let's read the rest of the passage, starting at verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees ought to ask him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, how can a sinner do such miraculous signs? So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he's a prophet. The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son, they asked. If anybody's going to get a spot, it would be like it, it would be parents. So, is this your son, they asked. Is this the one you say was born blind?
How is it now that he can see? Well, we know he's our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He can speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, he is of age. Ask him. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God, they said. We know this man, he was referring to Jesus, we know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered, I've already told you, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear again? Do you want to become his disciples too? They hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, you are steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. The man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what? Are we blind too? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim to see, your guilt remains. So that's the rest of the passage. And I felt it was important for us to understand everything that had gone on by reading this passage. And hopefully, after I've spoken, you might understand a little bit more of what was going on as well. But last weekend, an incident happened to me that sort of helped me prepare for today, but in other ways hindered me in my preparation for today. I was in a bit of a fight. Now, it doesn't sound that bad. I was in a fight with a shrub in the garden. And I lost. the shrub poked me in the eye, and ended up with a scratch on my cornea, and I had to end up going to the A&E and then checking it out to make sure it was all okay. And they gave me some ointment to put in it. But it was quite painful to open my eye, and I had to take the day off work. I couldn't open my eye, I couldn't stand the bright light, and I was sat there with my eyes closed, resting my eyes, and I turned the radio on. I had the curtains closed and I couldn't watch television or look at the screen. It was all too bright, so I had the radio on. I was listening to the radio. And while I was sitting there thinking, listening to the radio, I thought to myself, this must be what it was a little bit like for the blind man. He couldn't see. He was just relying on his hearing and his smell and his other senses. And I thought to myself, I wonder what sounds the blind man might have heard if he was sat there in his usual spot where he was begging. So I'd like you to sort of get into the idea of what it might sound like. And I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, and we're going to listen to a few sounds and see if you can identify what those sounds are. So if you'd all close your eyes, we'll have sound number one. So close your eyes, everybody. And sound number one. Gregory knows what it is. Anybody else know what it is? That's enough. Right, we've wound that down. Gregory, what is that sound? It's a bunch of people walking and talking. Yes, it's a crowd of people. And I'm sure the blind man would have put his begging spot in a place where there are lots of people walking past. So that's a good answer. Well done. Now, sound number two. Close your eyes again. Right, that's okay. So we've got some hands up at the back here. What do you guys think that sound is? It's a bird. Does anybody know? That's a good answer, Sean. And there's another answer over here. What bird is it? Come on then.
Sparrow.
It's a sparrow. Sparrows. You don't hear so many of those these days, do you? You used to hear a lot of them, but don't hear so many sparrows these days. Okay, so we might have heard a sparrow hopping around, perhaps near him. Now the third sound. Can you see what you can guess what this one is? Right, we wind that one down. We've got some more over here as well. What is that noise? A sound of horses' hooves, wasn't it? Clip-clop, clip-clop on the pavement. Was it horses? Good, well done. Gregory, was that what you thought it was?
Yeah.
Horses. Good. Indeed it was. And then the final sound. Lynn, do you know what that noise is? What is that noise? It's a chicken. Lynn keeps chickens, so she knows what that noise very does sound like. What did you guys think it was at the back? Chickens, yeah. And Gregory, did you think it was a chicken?
Yes.
What did you think, Andrew? Was that a chicken? No? I'm not sure if it was a rooster. It might have been a hen. Anyway, so he heard all these different sounds. But when he was sat there, he amongst all these other sounds that he heard, he suddenly heard voices near him. There were voices, the voices of men. And he heard someone asking a question. The question being the one that we heard at the very beginning. Is this man's blindness from birth, was it from his sin or from his parents' sin? And they heard him say, Rabbi. So he knew that there was a rabbi. Rabbi means teacher. There was a teacher. And the disciples, it was the voice of the disciples asking a question of Jesus. Is this man blind because of his sin or his parents' sin? And Jesus' response was, the man's blindness was not as a result of his or his parents' sin. It was there so God's work might be displayed in his life. And the great thing is that Jesus didn't want to just enter into a discussion, a theological discussion about what is right and what is wrong. He was interested in the man and the man's need. He saw the man's need and he met that man's need. Now, Jesus demonstrated his power as the Son of Man, as he described himself. Do you believe in the Son of Man? He asked the man later. He demonstrated his power. his creator power. Now, it says that he picked up or he mixed the dust with his spit. Now, can you remember somewhere else in the Bible where it talks about dust being used? Can you remember? Correct. Good answer. Well done, Gregory. He used dust. In fact, if we look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, I think we've got up on the screen, it says, "The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." I think this is almost a picture of God the Creator, perhaps creating a new eye for the man, using the dust and making a clay and putting it on the man's eyes. And then he sent him off to Siloam to wash the mud off his eyes so that he could see again. And what I think is a little bit sad is that he didn't come straight back to Jesus and to be able to see Jesus, to see the man, to see this person who had brought about his healing. He didn't come straight back to him, but he went home to see his parents. And as we've already talked about, people couldn't believe it was the same man. His parents, even though his parents knew it was the same man, they were a bit reluctant to admit it in front of the Pharisees. But what I think is also really very interesting is that Jesus took an interest in him. That when he discovered that the man had been thrown out of the synagogue by the Pharisees, he went and found him. He was concerned about where this man was. So he went to find him. And he went to, if you like, just to make sure the man understood where this gift, if you like, came from, I believe, and to understand where the man maybe, what was he then going to do now with his life? Because we read here that the man's view of Jesus was changed dramatically. I mean, it says in verse 11, when they asked him about who healed you, he said, "The man they called Jesus." He used the term man. And then later, when they questioned him further, they asked him, "Who do you say he is? What do you say about this man?" He said, "He's a prophet." But then later, when Jesus went and found him, he sat down with him and said, "You have now seen him. He's the one speaking with you." And the man said, "Lord, I believe." You could see this man's understanding of who Jesus was had grown. Originally thinking of Jesus as just a man and then a prophet, but saying, actually, this man is God. He's the Lord. And I wonder if at that point when he spoke with Jesus, did he recognize his voice? He won't have seen Jesus before, but did he recognize his voice? And Jesus says to him, "It is the one speaking with you." In our sermon last week, Harold reminded us, we were looking at Romans chapter 6, and we're talking about how Christians, if you like, are to live in the grace that God gives us and not to fall back into our ways of sin. And Harold reminded us about the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989? And how he said, there's plenty of pictures of people climbing from the east over to the west, but no pictures of anybody climbing from the west back over into the east. And I suspect that for the blind man, it was a similar scenario. He had had a begging spot that he'd probably used for many years, but I don't suppose he would go back to that begging spot. His life had been changed radically. He had a new life. His old life as a blind man, a beggar, was totally finished. He wasn't going to go back sitting to where he was. His life had been transformed by this encounter with Jesus. He had made a relationship, a friendship with Jesus that had changed his life. And that's a calling on us too, that as we get to know Jesus, not just as a man, but as our Lord and our Saviour, he can change our lives too. And as we get to know Jesus, to follow Jesus, he leads us in a way of living in love, that takes us away from our old habits, from our old haunts. Just as that old man, that blind man, would not have gone back to his begging spot, I suspect that he might have followed Jesus, may have gone and listened to Jesus further, stayed close to Jesus. And that's what Jesus wants of us. If we've come to him, he wants us to stay close to him. And in doing so, if we follow him and stay close to him, that takes us away from those places, those things that we used to be in, the old life that we used to be in. Now, this miracle is recorded, and John tells us in chapter 20 that it's recorded so that we might believe. There are other miracles that weren't recorded, many of them, but this particular miracle is so that we can understand and believe who Jesus is and who his power is. And we're going to be looking a little bit more about that later. Okay, so that's the first part of the talk, and I'm going to come back and talk a little bit more about the blindness of the Pharisees. We've talked about the blindness of the blind man, and we're going to talk about the blindness of the Pharisees. And this next bit, I'm just going to have some slides that come up. And for those of you who are a bit younger, I would like you to keep your eyes peeled. Now, keep your eyes open, all right? Because there's going to be some pictures that come up of particular things that help us to see. So at the end of the service, if you can come to me and you can tell me, you can give me a list of those things that are shown up on the screen on the various slides, I'll give you a pat on the back, and there's something I've got here for you as well. So keep your eyes peeled for those pictures. And they may not always be as obvious as you think. They might be a bit smaller and a bit out of the way. So just keep your eyes peeled when you're looking at these slides. So if we have our first slide. Okay. And then there's some words here that come up. First set of words. And it says, a blind person cannot make himself see. Now, if this blind man that we talked about had been able to do that, I'm sure he'd have done it a long time ago. The next statement that I've got here, it's the same in the spiritual realm. Sight comes from God. Spiritual sight, that is, comes from God through the Holy Spirit. And we can't, if you like, make ourselves spiritually see the truth of God. That has to come as a gift from God. Just in the same way that Jesus came and revealed himself and made himself known to the man, and made his eyes work so he could see. Jesus is interested in our spiritual welfare and making sure that our spiritual health is good and that our spiritual blindness is dealt with. And in Jesus, we can know that he has provided for us. And that's a gift. Now, if we look at the next slide, which is a picture of something else, I recognise what those might be. There's some words that come up. Seeking God's acceptance through rule-keeping leads to failure and condemnation. Now, the Pharisees were a bit like folks with binoculars because they were very interested. They were zoning in on the rules, the laws. And have you ever tried using a pair of binoculars? You can't see what's happening right under your nose if you've got a pair of binoculars on, if you're using a pair of binoculars. And the fact of the matter was that right at this time, right under their very nose, was Jesus, the Son of God. And they couldn't see that. They were so busy looking and worrying about the law. But in fact, they were looking at the wrong thing. They should have been looking at Jesus. There's another statement that I've got coming up here, that we find acceptance, not through keeping the rules, but we find acceptance with God through grace, the finished and complete work of Christ. Because if we try and keep the rules, we're going to fall over. We're going to fail. We've already failed. And that brings us guilt. That brings us condemnation. But Jesus wants to release us from that. And so his gift to us is grace. New life through the finished and complete work. And that whilst we are Christians, yes, we may fail God. But when God looks at us, he doesn't see our failures. He sees the perfect and complete work of Christ. So that's the binoculars that we've been looking at there. And the fact of the matter is that knowing about Jesus isn't enough. Just knowing about chapter and verse, what it says about him, isn't enough. I mean, we could quite clearly see that the Pharisees had a knowledge from their Old Testament studies and readings. They had a knowledge of the Messiah to come. But what they didn't recognize that they had a need for a Messiah. They thought a Messiah was going to be coming to rescue them from the Romans and to deal with all the bad people there were. We're all right. We keep the rules. We don't need a Messiah. It's to deal with all that other stuff. I don't need to be changed. I'm not the problem. That was their view. But in fact, It was their sin that needed to be dealt with, and they did need a Messiah. They did need somebody to come and change their world. I've got a little video clip here now. It's only a short one, about 30 seconds. Some of you may have seen this before. It's an old one, but I love it, and it's great. And I think it helps to illustrate the point here about experts not being able to see what they should be able to see. There are some astronauts, some super experts who's trained for years and years and years and years to go to space, and they've made a mistake. Okay, it's a bit of a gag, it's a joke, just to get you to go and buy your spectacles from Specsavers. It's worked on me, that's where I normally go. but there are other opticians in the town, I hasten to add, just in case you're wondering. I'm not being sponsored by Specsavers. But they were experts, and they'd made a mistake. And these guys were experts. They couldn't see what was right under their noses. So that's the thing that's quite interesting. So our view of our... what's important to remember is that when we come to Jesus, it's our view of ourselves that matters. And the Pharisees had a view of themselves that they were, if you like, they didn't need a saviour. And the filters that they'd had, if you like, there were filters from society, filters from their culture that had imposed what they thought of themselves. So I think we've got a slide coming up here. Now, does anybody remember these things that used to be around in the sort of 70s, 80s? Magic eye pictures? And the idea, I don't know if the idea of the magic eye pictures is that you look at them, and if you have to sort of get them just at the right point when you're looking at them, and you can see like a 3D thing in them, and so you're going, oh yeah, I get it, it's a dolphin. It's a dolphin, isn't it? It's a dolphin. It's a dolphin. And I'm going, no, it's a tiger. Well, I'm seeing a dolphin. And there's these 3D magic pictures. I was never that very good at them, to be honest with you. I used to struggle with trying to get them to see. And if you like, the way we look at ourselves is affected by the filters, or coloured by the filters that we have, or that society has imposed upon us. And you've probably heard people talking about karma. That, you know, if you've done something bad happens to you, it's because you've done something bad. You deserved it. You get what you deserve. That's the absolute opposite of what the gospel tells us. The gospel tells us, if we go to the next slide, and we click on to the next click, God views us through the eyes of love and grace. And actually, we get what we don't deserve, which is new life, a new start, a new beginning. We get that new start. Not that we deserve it, not that we've done anything that makes us special, but because God loves us. And God's given his gift of Jesus to save us. Now, it may be that we have our own filters that make us think that actually we're not good enough for God. But God accepts us as we are. And he wants to change us. Just like he took the man who was blind and made him see. Perhaps you're like the Pharisees who thought that they were too good. Or, I'm not that bad a person. So, you know, I don't need a God. I'm a good person. I'm all right. I don't need God. I don't need a saviour. But God views us through his eyes of love and grace. And we get what we don't deserve. In Romans 5, we've been looking through Romans in our series. In Romans chapter 5, verse 17, the verse is, for if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man. So that's what we really deserve, death. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man? We're going to reign in life, it tells us, through the amazing gift of God's love and righteousness that he's demonstrated through the one man, Jesus Christ. What's God's view of us? He loves us. He loves us so much that he gave his one and only Son to die for us. What's God's view of our sin? He recognizes that we need our sin dealing with to be able to come into a relationship with him. So what did he do about it? He didn't just talk about it. He did something. He sent his son, God sent his son Jesus to pay the price for our sin. He loved us so much that he gave his son for us. The man was born physically blind. We were all born spiritually blind. We all have a need of a saviour to deal with our spiritual blindness. Jesus shines his light into our lives. And we've got a slide here. A light that helps us to see our need of a saviour. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. In this passage, he talked about himself being the light of the world. And his light reveals the truth about who we are and the fact that we have a need. We have a need for our sin to be dealt with. And his provision in Jesus. That was quite a life-changing encounter that man had with Jesus. And just like the blind man, we too need to have a life-changing encounter with him. His life was transformed. Jesus wants to transform our lives as well. The Pharisees asked the man to bring glory to God by denying that Jesus was the Messiah. But whilst right under their noses was this walking, talking, seeing demonstration of God's glory. They were blind to who Jesus was and to the glory of God. Everyone else could see it, just about. You know, this is the blind man. He can see now. This is God's glory being demonstrated to us right here in our midst. The Pharisees failed to see their need of a saviour, a need of a Messiah, and that resulted in the judgment that Jesus spoke upon them. If you see in verse 39 of our passage, we pop that back up on the screen, it says, for judgment I have come into this world so that the blind will see and those who see will become blind. He was talking to the Pharisees there, trying to help them understand that actually that if they were seeing themselves as being above a need of a saviour, that they were actually putting themselves into a place of judgment. Can we have a look at the next slide? Can you make that out? It's quite a dark place. It's a dark forest. A place of spiritual blindness, let's just say, imagine. And when Jesus shines his light into our lives, it exposes us. It makes us vulnerable. It exposes us as sinners. It exposes the wrong in our lives. It shows that we have a need to have that sin dealt with. And we have a choice. Yes, it makes us uncomfortable. But if we choose to run away, to retreat back into the darkness of spiritual blindness, then we're missing out. Because we have a choice. We can either ignore that we have a need of a saviour, or we can recognise that and come into a relationship with Jesus, come into a relationship with God through Jesus and accept him as our saviour. If we go to the next slide, we can know him as saviour, we can know his forgiveness, we can know acceptance, not because of who we are, but because of who he is and what he's done. And the passage that Harold reminded us a couple of weeks ago from the message in our studies that we've been doing in Romans, rather than being in that dark, oppressive place, we can come out. We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand, out in the wide open spaces of God's glory and grace, standing tall and shouting our praise. Can you imagine for the blind man, he was able then to see these big open spaces that he didn't know existed. He just perhaps had this world that he could hear and smell and feel around him. A closed world. Now, he had this huge new vista, a new life, an open space of grace that God had graciously bestowed upon him. This sight that God had bestowed upon him. And through Jesus, we can, and a life-changing encounter with him, we can come into that space of grace and of knowledge of his goodness to us. Life-changing for each one of us. And maybe your view of yourself or your view of Jesus has been one that you've not recognized who he really is. It's been a case of maybe mistaken identity. You haven't recognized him as Lord. I I'm going to challenge you this morning. Maybe there's somebody here who has never made that commitment. Maybe never understood. Maybe never aware of their need of a Saviour. I challenge you this morning. If you would like to know more about what it is to become a Christian, then please do come and speak to me, or speak to Johnny, or speak to someone you've come with, or someone who you know here in leadership in the church. Please come and speak to us. We'd love to share with you more about the truth of knowing God's grace. And the freedom that that gives us, that space that God puts us in when we come to know him as our personal Saviour. I can hand over to Naomi to lead us in our final hymn now. Thank you for listening.